Arm's Length Reporting for investors who want the whole story. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Hey, welcome in. Time for KER Politics. Had a great show this week. We have a couple of segments that you are not going to believe. A church service that occurred in Tacoma, Washington yesterday. You're not going to believe what we're going to be talking about on that one. Stick around. We're going to be talking about it in the second half. First half, we're going politics. I have Dan Pacini on the line with me. And, of course, the unofficial, soon-to-be official co-host of this show, Jim McKinney. Jimmy, you're pretty upset about a number of things that are going on in the executive office right now. Why don't you start us out?
Yeah, I don't really talk about the executive office. I talk about more about the Biden regime, because there is no serious leadership in the White House right now. And it's evident by some of the things that have happened over the last week. The first one that really bothers me is we're facing a global supply chain problem that is really affecting port offloading, transportation distribution in the United States. The Secretary of Transportation under this regime is Pete Buttigieg. Pete Buttigieg, in spite of this crisis that may have significant impact, that will have a significant impact on the economic future of this nation, he's been on paternity leave since August, according to the White House, since he and his partner adopted two young children. So, you know, what is the Secretary of Transportation? What is the entire regime doing to support or to try and change what's happening with the supply chain issues? Oh, they're begging UPS and FedEx and Walmart to go ahead and work harder to try, you know, and keep these ports open for 24 hours. The problem is the unions and the COVID lockdowns and all their policies that are really impacting the future and truck drivers, and just goes on and on and on the labor market. It's incredible. So that's bothering me a lot.
I'll tell you one thing that I think is incredible about that. Buttigieg happens to be Pacini, being from San Francisco. Buttigieg is Pacini's favorite politician.
Yeah, he certainly is. You know, these people, they don't have any answers. They really don't. They're winging it. You can tell they're winging it because they change the subject and they tell cute stories and they, you know, they always have an interesting and fun answer, but they really don't know what they're doing. And they say, well, we're going to get together and meet and we're going to have a blue ribbon panel and we're going to do this and that. The fact of the matter is they're not business people. They're politicians. They spend their time just being at the front of everything and leading the train, and they just do not have any answers to any of these problems. You know, we had a businessman president. I keep going back to this. The Americans chose wrong. I hate to say it. They did. They chose wrong. They do that every so often. And that was a person who could have addressed these issues and would have kept them as a focus. The fact of the matter is this administration is asleep at the switch and they don't know what to do. So they talk about other issues. They keep changing the subject. This has been talked about. I'm not the first one to talk about this. They keep changing the subject. And that's why you have in the forefront all these other issues about race and gender and everything else, because those are the issues they're comfortable with. And it's a way to take you off the subject of how bad they are at Afghanistan and everything else, the border. So this is just another one in line. And so, Americans, stay tuned. We're in for a wild ride here, I think.
You know, yeah, real quick, I wanted to talk about the next issue that's bothering me. So Ron Klain, the chief of staff for Biden, actually retweeted a tweet from a Harvard economist, a very supportive Biden regime economist. It basically said, hey, inflation's a high-class problem. And Ron Klain puts two little fingers down pointing to, hey, read this. This is important to understand. When gas goes in a year from $2.19 to over $3.29, that doesn't affect the high-class people. That affects the working-class people. When inflation is at 5.4% for, you know, this last period, the most in 40 years for an increase in Social Security, the second highest increase ever in history. Yep. These problems are going to affect all Americans. I do not understand why these people, they're politicians, but they understand politics. How can they continue to try to shift and change the subject and not addressing these issues that are going to come back and hit them heavily in the next election? It doesn't make any sense to me. You know, people are upset, really upset about the border issues. Hispanics have turned completely against the Biden administration, the Biden regime. The black community is actually beginning to wake up and say, what the heck's going on? The people in that usually don't get involved, the independents and the moderates that just don't really care, they're showing massive swing towards away from the Democrats and Biden, massive numbers. So why do they continue down this road without understanding, looking at those numbers and saying, what the heck's going on? That I can't for the life of me understand why they're doing it and why they continue down this road to try to deflect and just shape the spin and not understand the political damage that they're doing to themselves, unless they've got another agenda. And that's what really concerns me right now. What is going on behind the scenes? Who are the payoffs for? What are they working? What's going on?
There has to be something very serious going on. And the reason I say that is every American with an IQ above 2 or 2.5, let's say, are looking at the polls and they're saying, let's see, the guy is down into, in some polls, the 30 percentile approval rating. This just doesn't make any sense. Why are they doing what they are doing? Perhaps they feel that they can simply ram their agenda down the Americans' throat. I don't see that happening. I have more faith in Americans than that, you guys.
Well, you know, I'd like to chime in on this. I think we're looking at them wrong. They're not interested in being effective. They're not interested in helping people.
Then what the hell are they interested in being? What are they interested in, Danny?
They're interested in being seen as being caring and effective and addressing these problems. They don't want to fix any of these problems. They want the problems to persist so they can again be seen as trying to address it and being the ones that are the most caring about it. So the fact of the matter is they don't really know what they're doing and they don't care about the unintended consequences. They want the numbers to work their way. That's why they are allowing our back gate to be open. They want the electorate to change, the whole electorate, they want it to look different, and they want to change the narrative, so they want people thinking about problems in a different way, and that's why they indoctrinate children to grow up thinking about race and gender and who's evil and who's not, and all these issues like climate, make those their main focus. They don't care about fixing problems. They just want the numbers to work their way so they continue in power.
You know, I think you have a very good point there when we're talking about changing demographics, actually using law enforcement to enforce their political policies. And you talk about actually you reduce the economy. I was just talking to my wife about this a little while ago. You know, 20 years ago, look at Venezuela and look at the comparisons to what's happening right now and where we're headed. And I think it's appealing to the people that just are not connected or somehow they've got, I don't know, so afraid of what's happening in the world right now that they're going to go ahead and get these influences and push these people. And people just believe it. And they just believe it because the electorate actually is very uneducated when it comes to these issues.
Dan, let me break in here because we've got to take a commercial break here in about 20 seconds. I'm going to say this. I think what the Democrats, what's happening is we are getting proof positive that particular segment of the political spectrum is not capable effectively of running this particular country. You guys, quick commercial break, and then we're going to be right back for another 8-minute segment. Stick around.
Your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Welcome back. I'm going to continue our discussion. I feel very strongly that my input at the end of that particular segment really merits attention, and that is the progressives are simply not competent to run this country, and they're proving it right now. We've got a tremendous inflation. We've got violence in the streets. People are getting gunned down virtually every single day in the streets. They're not even arguing. You're putting a guy like Buttigieg in charge of something and he's deciding to take paternity leave. I wonder what his wig looks like. And then you take, I'm sorry I said that, it just slipped out. And then you wonder sometimes why they put somebody like Kamala Harris in charge of a major problem like the border issue in the South, and she doesn't even go down there and get involved in it. She doesn't get involved in that issue even to the extent that I got involved in doing term papers when I was a graduate student in economics, finance, and international trade. What do you guys think about what I just said?
You know, I think that there's an entire segment of the population that this administration is attempting to appeal to. And I will say they've been successful in shaping minds. And the arguments that I hear, I watched a clip the other day of Michael Knowles, Daily Wire Morning. You know, he does a podcast every day. Very intelligent young guy. He's the one that wrote the book on why to vote Democrat. It was 700 pages long. It was blank, but it was the number one seller on Amazon back in, I think, 2016. Anyway, Michael Knowles, at Notre Dame, was talking to the students, and one of the students came, you know, asked him, you know, started arguing about, you know, racial equities and basically who, you know, why we, you know, support, you know, people like Thomas Jefferson, things like that. And, oh, actually, it was Columbus. It was on Columbus Day. And Michael Knowles made a very good argument. This young man, who was very dedicated to his views, would not listen to the argument, nor would he take anything other than this was just, you know, there's a quote in his in Columbus's journal that says something about slavery. And that was it. That was enough to destroy everybody. And we're seeing this over and over again. John Gruden, $100 million contract with Las Vegas, you know, Raiders. Coaching the Raiders, he loses his job over things from 12 years ago, 11 years ago, something like that. We're seeing this over and over again, that somehow the population of this nation at the younger generations through this process of education now believe that free speech is only the speech that they can appreciate, and they are willing to fight and silence anybody else for anything other than their views or beliefs. That is destroying this nation, and the fact is that the Democrats, the liberals, the ones that used to fight for that, are the ones that are perpetuating this absolute destruction of our basic principles and civil liberties that's outlined in the Constitution.
Dan, what do you
think?
Well,
and the amazing thing is that they have no problem categorizing all white people in a certain way, white people that they don't know. They'll come up to them in a restaurant and make them raise a fist in support of their thing, and if they don't, then there's retribution. Because all white people are evil. And there's all these no-go areas that you can't talk about, you can't be, you must be this horrible person. They're teaching our kids to be closed-minded. And they're also teaching our kids that you must be this perfect human being who's supportive of these set out issues. And that's just not the way the world works. People are, they make mistakes in their lives. They say dumb things every so often. That happens. We're imperfect people, and you can't hold people from the past. This argument's not anything new. You can't hold people in history to our modern standards. Otherwise, you'd have to say just the nastiest things against our parents who grew up in the 40s and 50s, and their views are very different. You'd have to say nasty things about Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton, who didn't believe in gay marriage for the longest time. I mean, you go through periods of time where the prevailing view is different. And this country has been held to very different standards because it was formed, you know, in 1700 and something. The prevailing attitudes and views were different then. So What do you do with a country that was formed back then, or was formed in 1900, or was formed in 1950? You know, you can't call them, you can't categorize them as something just because of when they were formed. All of these peoples had to pass through these periods of time, and we should hold them to the standards of their day, and we should consider that, and we should be able to make allowances. But we're teaching our kids to be closed-minded instead of educating them, which is the opposite. The opposite.
Yeah,
they should be thinking. And to hate. Well, that's what it is. That's the closed-mindedness. It's hatred. So.
Yep. You know, the interesting part about it is, as we, you know, navel gaze and look introvertedly as, you know, this segment of the population that in the media that supports it, actually, that really facilitates it, looks internally. But then you've got people like, you know, Xi in China that actually has total state control of 1.4 billion people, that locks down, arrests anybody for even the slightest comment against their regime and their government view. We're heading towards that. No one sees it. They're actually facilitating it. As we, and this is the other argument that I'm very frustrated with, as Joe Biden has been turning his back on questions and walking away, leaving allies to hang, and then allowing the Chinese to continually push Taiwan in a number of areas, we are facing, with the lack of rare earth metals, with the lack of raw materials, of aluminum, of manufacturing capabilities we're seeing with this entire supply chain issue, we are facing the potential end of our nation, and nobody is talking about it, and it could happen very rapidly because of external influences and the self-destruction inside. Very, very disturbing to me.
Yeah, it's amazing to me that we could go through the 20th century and see the death and destruction that was wrought by socialist and communist structures that killed 100 million people. How you could not understand and impoverish so many people. See these countries, Venezuela, Cuba, these crummy countries that are destroyed, not because of their people or their natural elements or anything else. It's because of their governing structure. And yet we would want such a thing for ourselves. It used to be you would never say you're a socialist. For so long you wouldn't say you were a socialist because, you know, you have history to suggest that that's just a foolish thing. Now we have politicians in our government who actively say that they are socialists and are advocating that for our own country. It is
stunning.
Yes, our
mates that are now congresswomen that stand up and wear, you know, tax the rich, you know, at a $30,000 a night gala, you know? Come on, are you kidding me? You
hey,
know,
Jimmy and Dan, listen, you guys have closed this segment out with a really good point. Admitting that you were a socialist just a few years ago would have been absolutely terrible. We're time for the top of the hour news. You guys got to take a real quick break. Thank you so much for your input on this particular program. I think you guys get the idea out there about what this show is all about. Stick around. Going to be right back.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment. Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Hey, welcome in. Time for the second half. I can't even talk. I'm so excited about having John Huber back on the show. Dr. Huber, how's everything down in Austin, Texas, my man?
It is amazing. You know, we're just getting through this year, and things are shaping up nicely. The weather's been great, even with all the rain. So yeah, let's.
Are you doing a lot of TV, a lot of radio?
The last month or so, it has picked up a lot. Yes, it has. Probably 2 to 3 television calls a week, and probably close to 8 to 10 radio a week. So.
Well, you're more famous than George Gobel. There's no question about that, and you're actually funnier. But anyway, Johnny, let me tell you what I want. To talk about. Rob Shire went to a funeral yesterday. It's kind of interesting in the sense it was a celebration of life, but it was really backwards. This guy, in my opinion, who the celebration was for, possibly did not have to die. Is that correct?
Right.
Okay, Robbie's going to tell us about what happened. Rob Shire, Dr. John Huber.
I went to a funeral yesterday at a great big church, and I got to the door, and this was a friend of mine who had died who wasn't vaccinated, and he refused to wear a mask. And he had done a lot of serving at this church and, you know, worked for them, operated the coffee bar there. And I got to the door and the minister was there welcoming people in, and I had my mask on, and she said, "Oh, you don't need to wear a mask in here." And I wore it anyway, and the only other person there at the celebration of life for this guy that died of COVID, the only other person wearing a mask was a 15-year-old kid, and I think he wore it because the school required it or something. And all the other people in there just believed that they were untouchable. But here, their most devout believer in the whole fold, he was really a staunch believer, died of COVID, and here they're celebrating his life and they weren't wearing masks and they weren't vaccinated.
Well, the one comment I want to make here, because Johnny, as you know, a lot of our listeners, and Ken and Robbie both know, that a lot of our listeners don't believe in the vaccine. They do believe in masking up when it's necessary, but as Jim McKinney, who's the co-host of this particular program, says, you know, odds are very, very slim, assuming you're not elderly and you don't have any extenuating medical circumstances. Assuming that that's the case, you're probably okay. But he said, you know, this guy was 74 years of age. That's getting up there. Golden and I are both just about, he's actually older than 74, as am I, as you know, Johnny. And the fact of the matter is, when you get to be our age, you have extenuating circumstances.
Absolutely. And absolutely. You know, compromised immune systems, you know, anybody with a compromised immune system should be super cautious. If they're not willing to get the vaccine, they need to be doing everything they can to limit their exposure. And, you know, the two biggest things, obesity and being over 60, those are the two biggest, you know, precursors that warn that if you get COVID, it's probably going to be fatal.
Yeah, and then after the celebration of life, they had laid out this big food bar of, you know, turkey sandwiches and cookies. No sneeze bar. People were just walking up there and touching the food and grabbing a food. And
I don't do those anyway.
No,
if they don't have the sneeze, I'm not doing it.
So when I saw all that, I finally shook the dust off my sandals and left.
You know, I got to tell you, I mean, whether or not I get a booster shot is kind of up in the air. I don't even know that I have to at this point anymore. But I'll tell you, in talking with my friends who are in the medical profession, given the fact that I'm 77 years of age, given the fact that I do have extenuating medical circumstances, why the hell take a chance? I mean, even McKinney agrees with me on that one. He says, of course, at your at your stage, Al, and your condition, you ought to do that. But, you know, for the vast majority of the country, that probably isn't the case. I find it very, very interesting in this case, though, and I guess I'm addressing this question first to you, John. Why would a church come out and do what this church did? I mean, it is just beyond my wildest imagination, man. Why would they do that? I mean, a guy dies and they don't even acknowledge his death. You know, I guess, Rob, how do they handle that?
Well, they certainly acknowledged that he had died.
Well, of course, yeah.
They didn't mention anything about COVID or the fact that they told him he didn't need to wear a mask or get vaccinated. I mean, it's probably akin to some of the stuff they do down in Texas, right, John? The snake handlers?
Well, we don't have snake handlers in Texas. Those are Arkansas.
Oh, so. Okay.
Thanks for doing that, too.
Well, you've got rattlesnakes down there. I just figured as much, that's all.
We shoot snakes here in Texas.
So. I mean, I got to tell you, you know, I agree with not the 99% of my listeners who say that I don't particularly want to get vaccinated just because the government tells me. I mean, Johnny, as you know, I do a Bible study every single week, and I've got people in my Bible study, robust workers, guys who are in their 50s, very, very early 60s. Because of what they do for a living, they're in fantastic physical condition. They don't like the government telling them that they don't have a choice, they have to be immunized. But the fact of the matter is, if you fall into a certain category, you're crazy if you don't get immunized, in my opinion. And what I find to be even more interesting is, and I'm going to turn the mic over to you here, John, why do people do things like this? I mean, why does a church endorse sick people to not try to get sicker?
Well, I don't know exactly what they're saying. I wasn't there. I haven't heard their sermons. I haven't, you know, you gave me the name of the church, and because of my circumstances today, I haven't been able to go do any kind of research on that. But I do know that, you know, you're talking about something that is faith-based, okay? And to some extent, there's actually a lot of faith in science, too. We start talking about electron microscopes and how we actually, you know, we don't really see what we think we see. We're seeing shadows. So there's a little bit of faith going on in there, too. But it's not to the extent that we talk about with religion. And, you know, if they're pushing faith, where does that stop? And I think what we've done is we've created two different groups of people out there. We've got the scientists out there and the people who believe in science, and they think religion should be treated the same way as a science. And we have people who believe in a faith-based religiosity system, and they think they should treat science like religion. And the reality of it is, if we treat science like science and religion like religion, they actually fit pretty good hand in hand together. And there are zealots in both of those camps that, you know, if you're either for me or you're against me, and they indoctrinate people, and they indoctrinate their parishioners, and they indoctrinate their readers on Twitter and on Facebook. This is the science. And it's just...
Johnny, got to take a real quick commercial break. Sorry, only going to be about 30 seconds. Ladies and gentlemen, stick around. I'm going to be right back with Robbie and John and possibly Ken. Stick around. Hey, welcome back here to wrap up KER Politics. Now, I want to say one thing. I want to be very clear on this. My personal circumstances regarding COVID are very, very different than 99% of the people in this particular country. Does everybody understand that? They're very different, okay? My wife just died, and I know your mom just passed away, John. I don't use the word passed away. I don't use died. I don't use that anymore. I know you're a Christian, just like we all in this room are here. I prefer to say my wife and your mom have gone to live with Jesus, because that really is what we believe. But having said that, I got to tell you, if you fall within the 99% of the population that where COVID affects you simply like maybe the normal flu, I agree 1,000%. You may not want to mess around with the immunization or whatever. There are a lot of questions about that. But what about the 1%, people like myself? What about people like, well, you're quite a bit younger than I am, John. People like my buddy Ken. You know, we're all over the age of 75. We have to be especially careful. Do you think we should look at this situation differently? And then after you answer that question, I'm going to ask my buddy Robbie to answer it. What do you think, John?
Absolutely, I think you should look at it differently. You have different life issues than I have. And if I had cancer, even if I was 30 years old, I would be looking at that vaccine saying, hey, this is definitely something I need to be considering. And if my patients come in and start asking me questions and they have immune compromised disorders, even, you know, something as what we consider as normal and commonplace as diabetes, that impacts your immune system. And obesity impacts your body's immune system. And you need to seriously consider getting that vaccine. I mean, you have to look at what you're facing here. And you know, I've had privileges in several hospitals, and I've watched people with COVID expire and die. And it is not like the same process that happens when you die from the flu. This is a much longer, drawn out, heinous situation. You know, essentially your organs kind of start suffocating and dying off. And if they can keep you alive long enough for your immune system to finally kick in, you know, that you have to hope that your organs come back on or you're going to die anyway. So it's a nasty, nasty proposition to end up in the hospital with COVID. It is serious business. The thing that bothers me the most is how they are using it. And I say they, I don't mean just the government. I'm talking about your next door neighbor are using whether you have that as, you know, basically your passport to do anything. And if you don't have the vaccine, even if you're completely healthy, maybe you've already had it and you've already got the antibodies. And, you know, I even saw Sanjay Gupta who says, you know, that ivermectin in one interview says that, yeah, well, it actually has proven to be an antiviral in vitro tests, that it actually stops viral production. And then he turns around the next day on his channel, I'm not going to mention to it, and says, oh, y'all are a bunch of quacks. You're taking dewormer. You know, he ignores the science that he actually put forth. You know, he's playing the political lines, and I don't think we should be doing that. Anytime you minimize a human being to make them something less than the human being stand next to them, we risk the Holocaust all over again. And that should not happen, absolutely, period. So, you know, whether you choose to do it or not, first of all, and I'm not going to tell you if I did or not, because it's none of your business. I mean, and it shouldn't be anybody else's business. You have to take care of your own health. Now, if I have, and I do have elderly family members, I want to make sure that I'm as safe as I possibly can be around them. So when my patients say that, I say you need to consider getting the vaccination. You know, you have somebody who has cancer in your household. You need to consider getting the vaccination.
And these are all risks that people need to look at. But there's another risk, and that's if you go to church with a bunch of people that aren't wearing masks, you're more at risk than other people, and you should get vaccinated.
Yes. Yes. I mean, and again, I don't want to should somebody or tell them you have to, because I also know there are people out there who said, you know, I've lived a full productive life and I'm happy. And if this is how I go, this is how I go. I'm not going to run scared. And I actually think that's a legitimate option also. A lot of people disagree with that, but you know, it's your life. It's not my life to control.
You know, I have to say this. It's a very touchy situation that you just brought up right now. And the reason I say that is because if, in fact, and I want to stress this to all of our listeners, you know, CFS, you, Irish, Tony, and the rest of it, I want to stress that if you're a danger to somebody else, odds are pretty good that you should be really cognizant of that other person's weaknesses, physical weaknesses. But, you know, I am pretty convinced that COVID is really only, I mean, the fatality numbers are less than 1%. And I have to tell you, I'm firmly convinced that COVID has gotten to the point right now where it's probably similar to the flu. But if you're 74 years of age, you've got extenuating circumstances. You are a fool if you go into big crowds and don't mask up. And you are a fool, in my opinion, given those very specific circumstances, if you don't get immunized. Robbie, you agree with me or disagree?
I agree, and I wish I had been able to learn more from my friend who was in the hospital, but of course, once someone goes in with COVID, there's no visiting.
No.
That's right. That's right. Well, and what we have to remember, freedom is not free, and it's not safe. You have to be responsible. And just like you said, if you decide not to do that and you're at potential risk, you need to be responsible and stay away from people who are. Absolute.
Well, I don't think there's any question about that. I mean, Jim may disagree with that, and he may say that, well, the odds are dramatically in your favor, assuming that you are young, healthy, etc., etc.
And good-looking. Don't forget that part.
And good-looking and from Texas, yeah. Right? But the fact of the matter is, Johnny, if you have the health conditions that I personally have, even that Rob has, or that my buddy Ken has, you got to watch yourself. There's no question about that. There's no guarantee that you're going to get, go to the hospital, get put on a ventilator, and ultimately die. There's no guarantee that that's going to happen, but it's a little bit better chance, assuming that you have the health, and you live in the health environment that people like us live in, John. No question. Johnny, we haven't had you on the show for a little bit now. I've been kind of, what's the best way to do it? I haven't been semi-retired, but when your wife passes away, you have a tendency to not be as active as you have been in the past. But I'm back in the saddle again, John. Like to get you on the show at least, let's plan on doing something once a week or thereabouts.
Give me a call. I'm ready. You're my man.
Oh, come on, John. Let's say this. Of course I will. We'll plan on it. We'll plan on doing something one day a week with you. There are so many psychological issues out there that I want to talk with somebody who has your credentials. I mean, I don't understand what's going on in society. I don't understand the anger. I don't understand the angst. I don't understand the fear. I don't understand anything that's going on in society right now. And I know that many of our listeners, I know that some of you guys are going to disagree with what I have said for the last two segments, but please listen to what I said very carefully and listen to what John said. John said, you do whatever you want. It's your business. I'm not sure that the government should have the ability to push COVID, to push the immunization or whatever. But the fact of the matter is, if people are stupid, they are stupid. And I don't want to end up in the situation that my friend Rob Shira's buddy was in. I don't want to have a future a celebration of life for quite some time. John, Rob, thanks so much, you guys.
The Corlin Economics Report is produced for A.B. Corlin and Associates. Opinions expressed on this program are intended solely for the entertainment of our listeners, do not constitute investment advice, and are not necessarily those of this network, radio station, or our sponsors. Find out more about this program and today's guests by visiting www.kereport.com. For Al Corlin, this is Colleen Robbins. Join us again next week for the Corlin Economics Report.